Welcome to another eye-opening episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam, the radio show that shines the light of truth into the darkness of Islam. Exposing the lies of Muhammad, exposing the errors in the Quran. It's Revealing the Truth About Islam. And now, here's your host, author, conference speaker, and Islamic expert, Usama Dakhdar.
And hello, and greetings to you in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. It is our joy to have you with us in this beautiful night of May the 15th of the year of our Lord 2021. And this is Usama Dakhdar with you from the state of Florida. Believe it or not, Venezuela, my home base, that's where I am traveling right now. I will be at my location in less than 10 minutes, so if you hear some noises in the background, it's because I'm driving. Hopefully, in 10 minutes, it will calm down, and it will be a beautiful program. And with us tonight, as usual, our good user and my wonderful co-host, Christy Johnson from Mississippi to D.C. From Baltimore,
you don't even know where I am. I'm in Mississippi.
Mississippi. Leave it that way. Anyway, hello, Christian. How are you?
Usama, I am very confused tonight because there's some wonderful things going on that I'm really happy about. Beautiful day yesterday. Yeah. I'm telling you, it was gorgeous. The weather was perfect. It was just wonderful. But, and some wonderful things God's done for me. Prayers answered, and I'm really happy and thankful about that. But, you know, the world is going to hell in a handbasket, as
going,
they say.
To hell in a handbasket.
Yes.
Going so fast, literally.
I'm telling you, it's very disturbing.
In 1 week, yeah. Yes, indeed. And believe it or not, I'm glad, I'm thankful to the Lord, because yesterday and today, I drove my 1,100 miles almost. So I was busy on the road, traveling, and I'm not watching TV, because I was very distressed this morning. Around 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning, I went to watch some news on my phone, and I saw 200 rockets were dropped on Israel from the wonderful, good, loving, peaceful Muslims who are supported by Mr. O. Biden. Mr. who? O. Biden. It's actually, we know for sure, this is the third term of Mr. Obama with the name Biden, because he is doing exactly what Obama did to show love and support to the terrorists of Palestine and hatred to our ally, the only ally we've got in the Middle East, which is the country of Israel. And believe it or not, Christy, here is the commonality between Kamala Harris and her husband. Kamala Harris does not see we have any problem in the border. You know that. Everything is crazy. She doesn't even have to go look at the border. Her husband, the Jewish idiot, does not see anything wrong in Israel. He thinks everything is great in Israel. And that is how wacko these Democrats are. They cannot see their own hand in front of their own face. They are super, super stupid. Anyway,
you know,
well, here we go. Go ahead, Ben.
No, I think you're exactly right. But I heard someone, a Jewish rabbi, actually, that I have a lot of respect for. He comes on several times talking about the issues of Israel, the Jewish people. He's had a lot of good insight. And one of the comments made is that many of the Jewish people in the United States, just like many of the Americans in the United States, are detached from their history. They're not thinking about the value of Israel like we see it because of the unique history of the Jewish people and the nation of Israel. They're detached from it. So that's just a problem.
Yeah,
and it's like Americans.
You know, Yeah, uh-huh. You know what, Christy? A Jewish Democrat is much worse than a Muslim in the jihadi organization when it comes to Israel. Because they're super, super stupid. They really would love to kill the last Jew to help the Muslims, who will end killing them themselves. Literally, if you think about the Jewish of America, one day they will be beheaded by the same Muslims whom they are supporting right now to help them to take over Israel. Why are they doing that? I have no clue. I have no clue. I believe they just hate Israel. They hate Yahweh. They hate the God of the Bible. They hate their own history. Or, as you said, Christy, they're ignorant about the Jewish history. They're super, super stupid.
You know, but they're educated here in America, and you realize this is the work of the devil in the last days. Deception, lies. Our school system has taught hatred of Israel and love for the Palestinians. They are considered the victim of everything. And you, Sama, we've talked about this for years. You remember we had videos of Hollywood where you see the Palestinians at that time, which really, truly, under Trump, is the only time that we really saw things calm down and nations actually come together to make peace with Israel. How disgusting that the Biden administration has squandered all of that, thrown it all out with their support for Iran and Hezbollah, who are funding these terror attacks. It's disgusting.
Well, Christy, you have to remember Quran 47:65 is a key verse. Once again, Quran 47:65. When Muslims are weak, they are peaceful. Remember when we saw this peace agreement coming up? One question after another, and I told you this is temporary peace until America become weak, because when America is weak, Muslims are strong. And when Muslims are strong, they don't call for peace. Allah said, do not call for peace when you have the upper hand. It's reality. It's a fact. You don't have to have a high school diploma to figure it out. Just read the verse, 57:55, and watch the reaction of the Muslims in the Muslim world. We're strong. Israel is strong. Muslims are begging for peace. We're weak. Muslims are strong. Well, guess what? They don't care about this peace. They want to wipe out the last Jew. That's exactly what they're hoping to accomplish in the next few months under Biden. Before, if we ever have another Republican or another conservative, Trump or others. But I don't believe if this thing will continue for the next 3 years, Christy, there is no hope. Nobody can take the Titanic ship from under the water. When it did hit the iceberg, that was the end of the story. We are now hitting the iceberg by Biden and Kamala and the rest of the socialists and communists who hate America, who hate Israel, who love the Muslims. End of story. At the end of it, there's nothing else I can tell you.
Well, Usama, I do have some encouraging news, and then we're going to come back to what these idiots, the squad, are doing. But the encouraging news is that over the weekend, we saw continued reports about the tampering that was done with the voting machines in Minnesota, and in Michigan. And people said, yes, and now in Arizona, they've discovered just evidence that the previous audit that was claimed to be done couldn't possibly have been done because the election board doesn't have the passwords for the computers. They have never had them, which means they didn't monitor the election. That was all being done. Right. So they're destroying their own argument that it was fair. They're saying, the Dominion people monitored it. Yeah, no kidding. We know about them.
Hey, Christy, we need to check with Mr. Biden about this code because He may be remembered before he gets old, and then he cannot remember. Can somebody go check with Biden?
Can somebody what, Joe Biden?
Go check with Mr. Biden. He maybe knows the code.
Oh, yeah, he probably does. Yeah, he probably could spit them out for you. He's really good at that. Anyway, so their argument against providing the information that has been court-ordered now or issued by a subpoena to turn over, they go, well, we can't because we don't have that. We don't have the password in the code. So the problem is their argument proves that there was fraud. That's what's so crazy. They're backed in a corner now. They don't even know how to legitimately claim that the election was not tampered with and that it was completely done according to law. No, it was not. So Arizona's audit, their hand count, they're also going to do a canvassy, which means to go and investigate addresses where these ballots came from that were supposedly mail-in ballots, but they don't know for sure that there was even a human that was connected with the ballot. And then the other thing is to audit the machines. You know, Mike Lindell and his films that are you can watch on frankspeech.com, Absolute Proof, Interference. These videos, he's being proved right. These investigations are proving him right. They did this audit that another forensic expert is coming out and saying, nope, these machines clearly give evidence of their vote tallies being available to be monitored and changed online. The machines have chips in them that actually allow that monitoring to go on. And the guy who explained that today, it's a different person. He wasn't in the film with Mike Lindell, but he's absolutely saying the same thing, that it's like a telephone. You and I go somewhere, and we don't have any Wi-Fi, right? But our phones can still connect to the Internet. He said these are chips like that that are in these voting machines, so they can always be interacting. They're always interacting with other machines and other interference that can be interjected into the machines because they go online.
Yeah. Sure.
Yes.
I wonder when the Supreme Court is
going to
get involved in this case.
I don't know. I guess it's going to depend. But if they don't, one thing that will be totally evident by that point, and that is that our entire government has been compromised. Our entire government. And the sad thing for us as Americans is as we're watching this, we still are trying to figure out what is the solution. And I want people to work on these things. I'm thankful for people like Mike Lindell. I'm thankful for the ones that are investigating these things. And even the politicians in Arizona, their Senate, and the head of the Senate that's standing up and demanding a counting for this election in Maricopa County. I'm thankful for them. But ultimately, if we don't see the Christians in America get humbled by this and pray and sincerely seek God, I'm with you. There's no solution because it is beyond the discovery of any human as to the level of corruption that is there in our country, in our school system, in our colleges, in our elections.
It's everywhere now.
Yeah, so.
The sad thing is, most American people do not have a clue what you are talking about. And once again, Hosea 4:6 is a true powerful verse. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. If the American people know what's going on, not seen it. I could not believe that they're so quiet that they have nothing to say. It's like, I wish I can meet some Democrats to tell me how much they love what's happening in America. Is anybody out there really love that? I would love to hear from them. I would love to talk with them. Politely, nice, civilized debate to see where can we see what is good is happening in America right now under Biden and Kamala Harris. They're destroying the country. They're destroying the world, for heaven's sake. Forget about America. They're destroying the world.
Yeah, exactly. Yes, and that brings us to this support.
Christian persecution. Yeah.
Yeah, but before we get to that, this support that we're seeing in our own Congress for what's going on in Israel, and of course our usual offenders, Rashida Tlaib, Ilhan Omar, praising the Palestinians, they're the victims, and Presley, all AOC, all praising the Palestinians, and then Cori Bush, who makes a speech honoring one of the founders or one of the first participants in Black Lives Matter in Ferguson, Missouri, after Michael Brown's death there. And she's talking about him and revealing one of the things that we had talked about months ago in discussing the formation of Black Lives Matter, and we said there were a lot of Muslims involved. She is letting us know that one of her heroes is a Palestinian named Bassem Masri. He died in 2018, but she proudly calls him a St. Louis Palestinian, part of that Black Lives Matter protest over Michael Brown. And guess what? She compares his fight to the fight of the Palestinians against Israel. So we have idiots in our Congress.
Yeah.
And not only are they idiots, they are enemies of our country. They're enemies of America in our Congress.
That lady should be serving time in some jail or some prison for what she just has said. I mean, think about it. They are praising the Palestinian jihadi. I mean, amazingly, years ago, we used to call them radical or extreme Muslim. And then we could not use the word radical, the word extreme, with the word Muslim because that offended the Muslim. And now we're calling them heroes, same people. What happened to us, Christy? What happened to America? There's no more jihadi extremists anymore? They're all wonderful heroes? Who are the bad ones? The Jews and Trump people. The conservative and the Jewish people. We are the radicals. We are the extremists. We are the fundamental. And, of course, we talked about these three words. There's nothing wrong with these three words. Every Christian ought to be a fundamental and extreme and radical because that's who God is, and that's what Jesus is. We can talk about it again later some other time, but there's nothing wrong with this reward. Check it out in the dictionary. There's nothing wrong. But first, we used to call them, these are just radical extreme Muslims. Oh, no, no. We cannot use the word radical extreme Muslims anymore because this has nothing to do with Islam. And now, we're calling them hero and wonderful leaders. God help them.
Well, this is, you know, according to the word of God. They call good evil and evil good. And that's where we are.
And woe to those. And woe to those.
Right.
Yes, ma'am.
Because this is bringing a curse on the world. It's bringing a curse on the world. You know, you saw I always check on some of my favorite websites. One of them that I go to is also Law Enforcement Today. So that's where I found the article about Cori Bush. So it's worth checking that one out as well because they do talk about issues related to law enforcement and some of the things that they put up there are stories you're never going to hear about in the mainstream media. But my other location for that story came from Worthy News. So they always put the latest information about things going on with Israel, things going on with the Christian community. So, you know, you've been hearing on the news about the problems in Myanmar, and while, you know, some of the things you hear, it's like back in the olden days when they would talk about civil wars in different countries. And years ago, I didn't know that some of those civil wars were not just civil wars. They were Muslims killing Christians in these countries. But
sure,
the news media sure called them civil wars. They didn't ever tell you what was going on.
Because all
so,
you see the Muslims in the thousands killing Christians in Sudan, and then some Sudanese Christian tried to defend his wife, or tried to defend his daughter, or tried to defend his family, whatever. And if he shot one of the Muslims or killed one of the Muslims to defend his family, even though the Muslim wiped thousands of the Sudanese Christians, now it's a civil war because Muslims killing Christians and Christians killing Muslims. But in reality, it is not a civil war. It's a jihadi war. Because Muslims practice the teaching of Allah in the Quran and the command of Muhammad Hadith to wipe out Christianity from the face of the earth. And just one person do the right thing, and now it is a civil war.
Yeah, the thing that's going on is we're seeing persecution against Christians in China. And I know from my personal experience with some Chinese Christians that this wasn't always the case, but, you know, we hear about the persecution of the Muslims in China. And I'm not condoning anything that's going on there, but you don't hear a lot about the Christians that are now experiencing, first of all, they have started this is how they word it, they've started a digital revolution against Christianity. So they're doing in China what they're trying to do to Christians in America, eliminate their access to the internet and information. So they're experiencing now the beginnings of being shut down, including their underground churches, now internet access being limited. In Myanmar, we're seeing the Burmese military going and carrying out violent campaigns against ethnic and religious minorities in the country. So we've got a whole group of people. They're called the Karen Christians. That's the part of the country they live in. They are known as Karens. And they are being persecuted. Many of them are having to flee into Thailand now for safety. So this stuff is breaking out all over the world. In Nigeria, it's always been bad. It's worse now than ever. One of the articles that I found where the Muslims are dropping leaflets before they're going in to attack, and this is what the leaflets are telling the communities in Nigeria where they're going in and killing and kidnapping Christians. And it says leaflets were reportedly dropped in the area for calling for establishing an Islamic state, saying, "We are fighting unbelievers, Christians, and any other person or group going against the teaching of Islam, even if they are Muslims." Tell us about that, Yusana.
Well, it is very similar to what we've been teaching for years, that the true Muslim believers will be killing the hypocrites. And if you don't know what is a hypocrite, the best verse, actually, in my new book, I mentioned a few verses, but one of the verses which I talk about the killing of the hypocrite is Quran chapter 3 and verse 167. I don't know, you have a Quran near you, Chrissy?
Yes, I do. Let me see if I can get to it real quick, because I have a lot of
Quran
stuff in front of me.
So Quran 3, verse 167, Allah is giving the test and from which every Muslim, Allah, Muhammad, any person whose logic would know the true Muslim believers from the hypocrites. The true Muslim believers from the hypocrite. What is that test? Read to us that verse, Christy, if you don't mind.
Yes, I'm almost there. 167.
Okay. Yes,
and that he might know the hypocrites. And it was said to them, come, engage in war for the sake of Allah or contribute. They said, if we knew how to engage in war, we would have followed you. They are closer on that day to infidelity than to faith. They say
it's very simple. We don't have to read the rest of the verses. I mean, you know what? They say with their mouth what is not in their heart. Is that what the verse said?
And it says they say with their mouth what is not in their heart. And mm-hmm. Allah knows best what they hide.
All right. So they say we're Muslims, but in reality, their heart does not say they're Muslims. So what does their heart say? What does their heart say? Is they refuse to join this Muslim in Nigeria? They refuse to join the Muslims in Iraq and in Syria with Daesh or ISIS? As they refuse to join the Muslim Brotherhood of Egypt? They refuse to Muslim to join whatever Muslim jihadi organization out there. So if you refuse to go and fight for the Zikr Allah or you refuse to contribute, you're not a Muslim. You're a hypocrite. And Muslims have the right to kill the hypocrites. I said, wait a minute. Well, the verse does not say anything about killing the hypocrites. Yeah. You go to Quran chapter 9 and verse 73. And 9:73 is that the direct command of Allah for Muhammad and all Muslim believers to perform jihad against the infidels and the hypocrites. Allah said, be harsh with them, and their ultimate abode is hell. So the Nigerian Muslims are not extreme, by the way, or radical or fundamental, that they're not following Islam. No, they are crossing the T's and dotting the I. If Allah said, you refuse to join us to kill the infidels, you're a hypocrite. You refuse to support us financially to kill the infidel, you're a hypocrite. Then you're a hypocrite, like it or not. If Allah says, behead the hypocrites or kill the hypocrites, and Muslim believers, if they are in ISIS or if they are in Hezbollah or Hamas or Fatah or the Nigerian Boko Haram, these Muslims are true Muslim believers and they're doing what they've been commanded by Allah to do. That's why they're radical. That's why they're extreme. That's why they're fundamental. They follow the book with every word in it. I wish we Christians follow our Bible literally 10% of how Muslims follow the teaching of the Quran and the command of Muhammad, because that makes them true Muslim believers.
Yeah, we have an escalation of persecution against Christians in so many places, and I only have cited a couple of places now. In Somalia, headline is a Christian couple facing death for faith, prayers urged. Christians have urged prayers for a couple who could face death penalty in Somalia on Tuesday for abandoning Islam and spreading Christianity in the Sunni Muslim nation. Yeah, so there they are in Somalia. And now because they left Islam and they are spreading Christianity, they are facing a death penalty. So it's like you have said so many times, they're not going to be weak when they have the upper hand. And to look at America... Mm-hmm. Biden bowing to Iran, we see an escalation of persecution against Christians all over the world and the violence escalating by Muslims all over the world. And this happened under Obama. Same thing. Praise God that Trump came in and disrupted all this. But now...
That's why...
Obama, yeah. We got Obama 3.0, right?
Exactly. This is the third term of Mr. Barack Hussein Obama, believe it or not, and that's the reality of what's happening in America right now. Sadly, most people do not know because nobody talk about it. This thing is just, this is the politics as usual, but that's not the usual politics. That is the wickedness and the evil work of Islam and the liberals who are joining the Muslims to please and appease the jihadi of the world. Not just in Nigeria. I did not share with you last week and the week before when we talk about the persecution of Christian, believe it or not, Christian. We have now in Egypt chaos. The Muslim Brotherhood rising up in Egypt, causing big train accidents and other accidents all over the country because, once again, when Biden or weak people are in the White House, Muslims are going to get stronger, and believe it or not, they're doing a great job right now in Egypt to bring destruction in Egypt, much worse than the 4 years of Mr. Trump. And I think this is going to grow from one city, from one country to another, until the whole world will have suffer. As I said earlier, they are not just destroying America, they're destroying the whole world. That's exactly what's happening right now.
Yeah, Burkina Faso. Remember we heard a story about them a few years ago where a missionary was killed and his wife was saying to continue the work of the ministry. As a matter of fact, one of my friends had indirectly known about this couple that were there doing ministry. But now, Burkina Faso, that was a rare experience. Now they said, Burkina Faso chaplains overwhelmed in task of supporting troops. Under-resourced military chaplains of Burkina Faso are struggling to provide adequate support to government troops fighting the onslaught of Islamic extremist violence against this previously peaceful Western nation. Note the words, previously peaceful. I'll tell you when previous was. When Trump was in office and America was strong.
These are the 4 years of peace. After that, we no longer have peace in the Muslim world or in Israel or even in America. I don't think we'll ever have peace in America again. You think what's happening in America the last 4 months is a peaceful? I mean, today I bought gas in my car, literally $2 more than what I bought when Mr. Trump was in office for a gallon. I filled my tank for $86. I could not believe it. I never spent more than $32 to fill the small two tank in my vehicle. $86. I mean, he gave us $600. He already took $1,200 out of me the last 3 months in my gas.
No kidding. And you know what? They don't mind this because, as you might have heard from, was it Nancy Pelosi or was it Kamala Harris? You know, we're going to just have electric cars now, and that will be so good. So we're going to get rid of gasoline cars. That's their plan. So Lord help us. But what are we doing in America, and what's happening to Christians in the Western world? Let me tell you, here's a story in America. I'm gonna tell you this quick one, and then I'm going to tell you about the persecution coming against pastors in other parts of the world, and it's coming to America soon. Evangelical Luther Church of America selects its first transgendered person as a bishop. Yay! The first.
The first, and we have more to come. Praise Allah.
This is victorious. What they're doing. And I'm sorry, anyway, it's the first such move by any major U.S. Christian denomination. The Sierra Pacific Synod of the Evangelical Luther Church of America has elected a transgendered person to serve as bishop. Wow, look what we're doing in America. Isn't that great? We're going to stand up against the persecution of transgendered people. I'm sorry. You know what's so pathetic? These people will be slaughtered by Muslims. They're gay ministers. They're gay pastors. They are all to be killed in Islam. So, you know, there's so much foolishness. God help us. Please, please, Lord, help us, because this is so foolish. Of course, many of you may have heard, we had a recording the other day of the Canadian pastor who was standing up and throwing the police out. He was having an Easter Sunday service, Resurrection Sunday service in the church in Canada, and they came in, told him he wasn't allowed to do that, and so he stood up to them. And we applauded that. We played what he said. He told them they were Gestapo, get out of his church.
Well, no, Chris. He said, out, out.
Yes.
Out.
I'm not,
like my mom. Like how my mom used to cut demons out of you.
Oh, that is right. You even mentioned that. That was good, too.
Yeah.
But anyway, so I put the pictures in the slideshow. He has now been arrested. They arrested him where I believe he and his brother and other Christians were holding a rally to support allowing churches to meet, and they picked him up. They arrested him, and now he is not the first Canadian pastor to be arrested, though. We have the other pastor. I got to give you his name. I want to make sure I give his name. So hold on. Let me pull up his name. Oop. I'm sorry. I have all this information, so I try to make sure I have it. But this Canadian pastor who was arrested, where's his name? I have his name written down here. Pastor Arthur Palowski. His family were immigrants from Poland. Very sensitive to what the Nazis did to Poland. And that's why he called these people Gestapo, for coming in and disrupting his Easter service, his Resurrection Sunday service. And he ran them out. Of course, now he's been arrested.
Yep.
The other jailed pastor is named James Coates, and he's the pastor of the church that I have pictures up there, Grace Canadians Grace Life Church.
Mm-hmm.
They literally put barbed wire and fencing around his church to keep people out of there. And guess what?
Guess
what's amazing?
Like what's in Washington, D.C.
Yeah, like keep you out of the Capitol. But you know what is sad is that we now have the truth that all this masking and all this distancing and everything else, I think the lid has been blown off of that lie, and people are sick of it. Now all of a sudden they come out, oh, yeah, you don't have to wear a mask, and you don't have to social distance now if you've had the vaccination. Well, the truth is, folks, here in my state, here in other states, they haven't been wearing masks and worrying about all that for quite a long time. And we're all doing okay. Thank you, Jesus. But I'm not against, if somebody wants to get a vaccination, you know, that's your right. But to be forced to have a vaccine, that is against the Constitution. And if they're telling you, you need to vaccinate, like Fauci's saying, down to six-month-old babies, Get your babies vaccinated with this. I would absolutely tell you that should not be allowed by the FDA. There is no way that should be allowed. So parents, your kids are okay, probably much better off without the vaccine. Nothing to show that's necessary. But there you go. All of this going on, these pastors arrested, and now, oh, okay, now it's okay. Now we found out all of this, unnecessary. Anyway, just sad, sad, sad. And a pastor, John Sherman, arrested in London because he told people in the community, 71 years old, he was standing up on a chair, he was preaching, he said, there's only two genders. God created two genders. He was reading Genesis to them. He got arrested for that. For hate speech.
Yeah, It sounds like a comedy. It sounds like a joke. But you know what? It's true. This unrest will continue to grow. Who knows? Between here and next week, you may hear there's a guy by the name Usama Dakdok will get arrested for speaking in some church in Florida, maybe tomorrow or maybe next Thursday. There's the two meetings coming up. But in reality, Chrissy, these liberals, I want to go this before we get to the rest of other preachers, considering the masks, are brainwashed, and I don't think we can undo the brainwash. It's over. Today I'm traveling, coming all the way from Missouri, and I see a car next to me, you know, going slow, traffic is bad, and that lady, she has a mask on, and I thought maybe there's somebody else in the car. I'm talking about Highway 24, because Highway 24 is a big highway, which go all the way east and west. So we're going through Tennessee, Chattanooga, before we get to Highway 75 to come south of Florida. So, to make the long story short, she's wearing a mask. And I thought there must be somebody with her in the car. No, there is nobody else with her in the car. And what's astonishing, and I wish I can have the good camera to take a picture, she's wearing a mask by herself inside the car, but she's not wearing the seat belt, Christy. What is more important in a car, a seat belt or a stupid mask when you are by yourself?
Well, I think the seatbelt probably has demonstrated that it can actually save someone's life. I don't believe the mask has demonstrated it saved anybody's life. Yeah,
okay, but what
sure.
I'm saying is, coming
crazy.
To Florida, I went to a rest area. I went to two or three rest areas, and people coming in and out of the rest areas with mask on, even though the governor of Florida has the country is open and you don't have to wear a mask in public place, I mean, in outside those, people wear masks because they've already been brainwashed, and it is impossible to undo that. They're willing to hurt themselves with that stupid piece of mask than to say no to the Democrat agenda. They actually will mock us for not wearing masks out in the fresh air. We're wrong, and they are right.
You know, yesterday I had a similar experience. I told you it was a beautiful day. I was sitting there by the water just watching some sailboats come in, you know, and it was just beautiful, beautiful day. I'm sitting out there, and I see one of my neighbors, and I'm serious. There is nobody around me. I mean, it's like a beautiful area. I'm so blessed. I don't want to complain ever because I'm so blessed where I'm living right now. It's gorgeous. It's nice. I have this huge area I can sit, just, you know, watch the Gulf of Mexico. And here comes one of my neighbors. I see him walking. I didn't know it was my neighbor at first, but it's a man wearing a mask. And I'm thinking, this is weird. I'm the only human in, this is like 3 football fields area, and I'm the only human outside in this area, and he's walking along wearing a mask, and I'm thinking,
you cannot undo.
Of course I didn't have
you cannot undo this, people. It's too late.
No,
it's
you
too
know,
late to undo this country.
It's instilling fear in people, too, Usama. That's a factor. People are scared, and I've got people in my family. You know, they went and had an immunization. I'm talking about the younger people. This is what's crazy. These younger people are terrified. They're so scared. And so they got the vaccine. Now they're still wearing a mask. It's crazy because they're the least likely to have a serious problem with this. But they are brainwashed, and they're fearful. And, you know, the sad thing is once that fear is instilled in you, this fights against your faith. And there are people that I believe are certainly wise to avoid situations and maybe to wear a mask and not get in crowds because of the virus. Okay, many of these people who have a compromised immune system, people who are under medical treatment for other serious conditions, I don't have a problem if they do that. But these are young, healthy people, and they're, like, terrified. And not only are they terrified if they go without a mask, after being immunized, they're immunized, and they're still wearing a mask, and they're scared not to wear it. And then if you're not wearing one, they're upset with you. Oh, you're endangering
sure,
people.
Sure.
It's sad.
But did you notice now, you and I, for the last few weeks, we're talking about the mask, and so the rest of the American people. Have you ever heard anybody lately talk about China investigation for where this virus come from, who brought this virus to America and to the world? Are we going to talk about China anymore, or is this over?
No. Usama, you've got to watch these channels, and I put it up there. War Room Pandemic with Steve Bannon, he talks about this every single day, 6 days a week. Yeah, you can see that on Real America's Voice News. They are not letting this go. And there is the lady from China who has been speaking out and exposing this virus. She's on there frequently. I follow her on Twitter. They're not letting this go. This virus now, I will tell you one of the disgusting things that I heard, but it's important to know this. One of the ways that they have been able to take a virus that is common to an animal, by the way, dogs get coronaviruses all the time, and so do bats. Those are two animals that commonly have coronavirus. What they do is they take an animal that can carry the coronavirus and they graft human embryo scalps onto these rats. And they make the virus infect that rat, so now it is able to also infect humans. They're quite sure this is the process that was used to create this COVID-19. It is created as a weapon. It's a weapon. We've heard about biological warfare for years, but we never quite understood what it was. We always thought it was gases and poisons and different things like that. This is serious stuff, and it's called gain-of-function experiments, where they can take that virus and take the virus and create it to be more lethal, more contagious to humans. And I'm telling you what, Dr. Fauci has been a big part of this as it's gone on the research in the Wuhan lab. He was a participant and helped get that started again when it had been stopped by the Obama administration, who said this research was too dangerous. Fauci got it started again. It's pitiful that he was the head of the coronavirus task force.
For what purpose?
But he's being exposed.
No. My question to you, for what purpose he started again? For what purpose he started in the first time? What are we going to gain out of that?
Well, how about take down America so we can have a fraudulent election? Isn't that a good plan of the devil? I don't know who did it, but I will tell you, Satan has got his minions, his demons, and his people that he's using all coordinated together for the same purpose, and that is to put Satan and his power in control. And so I don't know how it happened. I have no idea. They have excuses. Some people say it is because then they can create a need for these vaccines. Lots of money to be made by these pharmaceutical companies when you have diseases. Lots of money. Is that why? That it is a weapon that they could destroy another nation with? I mean, who knows what their reasoning was, but it's a very dangerous thing. But obviously it's been going on for quite a while.
Unbelievable. God help us. Yes, indeed.
Usama, that's about all I have, except just to say that I'm hoping and praying that I want to say that this Islamophobe Christian man in London was arrested February 25th in 2019. And this is a black man who was preaching from the Bible very similarly in the community, just calling people in this community where there are many Muslims. You know there are many Muslims in England And he was calling them. He says they were telling him he had to go away. And when the preacher told the officers he wouldn't leave, the officers informed him that he would be arrested for the breach of the peace. In response, the preacher proclaimed, "I will not go away because I need to tell them the truth, because Jesus is the only way, the truth, because Jesus is the only way, the truth, and the life." To this, the officer replied, "I appreciate that, but no one wants to listen to that." He was preaching that, and he was charged with hate speech against those people listening because there were Muslims, and so they said he was an Islamophobe, trying to preach the gospel to Muslims in England. This happened a few years ago, so it's just getting worse. Yeah.
This is my topic tomorrow in my church, Islamophobia, fact or fiction. I wonder, will I be arrested too for teaching the same message in America?
I don't know. Hey, we have a caller on the line, but I just now saw them.
Absolutely.
Okay. Yes, caller, I know you've been waiting for a little bit. The last three numbers of your phone are 450. And... go ahead. Can I get your name?
Yeah. Hi, Christy. This is Ted. And
hi,
Thomas.
Ted.
How
I
you
thought
doing?
That looked familiar.
Brother, Ted is my special friend. Hello, man.
Hey. I just got, one comment I should make for you, and then, briefly, tonight, and this has been on a couple times, at Frank Speech. They've had Dr. Sherry Tenpenny on, and she was talking about this vaccine and all the dangers that are with the vaccine. Once you get this vaccine, it can change your DNA and do all kinds of damage inside your system. And I just encourage people, before they take a look at the vaccine, if they haven't done this or if they haven't gotten the second dose, go to the Frank Speech. Look for tonight. Now, it probably won't be on for a day or two. May 15, 2021, interview with Sherry Tenpenny. 7 o'clock was when it was. Just listen to that, and might be very helpful to you in that point.
Yes, I saw that was going to be on, Ted. I'm glad you brought that up. Absolutely.
Yeah. You know, it's a tough thing, but, you know, once you're vaccine, you have no idea what it's going to do to you, and the risk of taking the vaccine, is that greater than the risk of getting the virus and recovering? Because we've seen statistics of how many people are recovering, and it's like 99.99% of the people are recovering from this, and it's generally speaking the older people, and they have other conditions, that this is making it worse for them, that they have comorbidity things. But it's something interesting to just consider before you dive into this thing if you haven't. And it's just something.
Yeah, frankspeech.com. You can go on there and watch these videos. Usama's been on there. This is Mike Lindell's. Yes. Channel, and I just want to say I'm glad you brought that up, Ted, because this is a serious problem that we have no idea what the long-term effects are going to be on people. And I saw another interview, which people should check out, that, and it is a doctor who is actually providing free consultation. I believe it's under freedoctor.com, and he has been prescribing hydroxychloroquine for people who are experienced early stages of this illness, and they are having major, almost complete success with early treatment of COVID with these medications. And he did an interview today actually on OAN, One American News. So that will be another thing to watch for.
This, this hydroxin medicine you're talking about, Christy, a friend of mine, his name is Douglas. He's from North Carolina, and he is in a very poor health. I mean, he's sick with kidneys. He's sick with diabetic. His kids is sick with, I mean, he has all the things which if you get coronavirus, you die. You got me so far? And he used that medicine, and he was completely healed in 3 days, 3 or 4 days, because he took it on the early time. As a matter of fact, I talked to him yesterday on the phone 2 days ago, and I asked him if he can get me some. He's going to get me some. Actually, there's another stronger medicine. It will heal in 24 hours, not 3 days. You get corona, you take the medicine, 24 hours, you're free. You don't need the garbage vaccine. Get the medicine. If you get sick, take the one, I think, 2 doses, I believe, and they cost like, I don't know, 50 cents. Why are we vaccinating people? Should we stop doing vaccine and wait for 5-10 years to see what is the, exactly the reaction of giving that vaccine to the 100 million or so that only took it? Or we need to vaccinate the rest of the people anyway? Go ahead, guys.
No, I was just going to say, you see, those side effects, the damage, like Ted is talking about, we won't know what it really is. But this is why it's so dangerous for young people to be told to take this. We've seen what I think the guy today said, there's been 3,000 people that have died from this vaccine, which is a percentage never heard of before for a vaccine. So, it, you know, there are many reasons to get informed. So, Ted, I appreciate you bringing that up.
The number that Sherry talked about tonight was 4,000 reportable on the Center for Disease Control Vaccine Adverse Effect Database. And they said that only between 1 and 10% of the affected cases are ever recorded in this database, mostly because people don't know about it or have other reasons it doesn't get recorded. So they say the deaths so far in the United States could be anywhere from 40 to 400,000 because of effects.
Right.
You know, necessarily seen. So we, you know.
It's the opposite of what they did when people died. Like you're in a motorcycle accident, injuries kill you, but you had tested positive for the virus, so they marked that as a death from coronavirus. And they're doing the opposite now with the vaccine.
Yep. If the vaccine is really what is involved, but they can use any other thing, then they're probably going to put it under any other cause.
Yep, exactly.
And so it was a very interesting discussion, and I'd encourage everybody to go to there. And
thanks, Chad.
That's that. The other thing, I went to the Frank rally for that thing. I don't know
you
if
did.
Many people on this site know about this. Yeah, I drove 5 hours to Mitchell, talked to Osama, see if he was going to be there, if he was in a different part of the country. But, yeah, I left at noon in Minneapolis and got there a little bit after, you know, it started. But quite a drive. But it was good.
What?
And I'd encourage you, if you hear about it in your area, get to it. What?
Good.
Yeah,
this is good, Father Ted.
I'm excited to hear that, Ted. I'm really glad. And people need to, you know, like I was talking about last week, you need to choose who you're going to get your news from. You need to support these efforts that are going on in order to do what we can as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and as those who believe our country is worth fighting for. We have to do the things we can do to support these efforts and get informed, because the one thing that we know is in all of these socialist takeovers, in these communist takeovers, in these Islamic state takeovers, is they want to destroy your history and destroy your ability to hear the truth. We have all of that right now available to us in America, but we could lose it. We got to use it. We got to pass the word. We got to support those Christians and those patriots right now. Mm-hmm. This is the time.
Yes. Absolutely.
Good key I always try to follow. If they're trying to ban it or prevent you from hearing it, there's got to be something good in it. If they just are scared to death.
Exactly.
So,
that's very logical,
like,
brother. This is very
like
logical.
When you're over
that's
the target,
right.
That's when they're firing the flak at you. You know?
That's right.
No, you got to pay
extra attention. If they're promoting it,
hey,
it's stupid.
Watch out. Hell yeah. Watch out.
Let's recruit you into the CIA. We take gay people and transgender people, and I have this and I have that, and they really need me. This is crazy. Then they're doing the same thing to run people out of the military and question them if they are patriotic Americans. They want to run you out. And all this stuff, advertising on the media, on the news, on television, all this advertising.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
We're just killing ourselves. Yeah, they want to hire people because of your skin color or because of your sexual beliefs. Instead of trying to hire people who are competent, who've studied, who know how to deal with the problems,
they're
just going at the wrong place.
People who are qualified to do what they're hired to know, we're going to hire you if you are one of the 26 other gender, not the female or male, but the other 26 ones, because total is 20. If you are any of the other 26, you got the job. If you say you are a male or you are a female and that's all what you got, for sure, you're going to have a hard time to get a job. And so on with everything. Evil. I mean, I remember this, what's her name, this lady? Mr. Trump, you always make fun of her. She says she's Indian, but she's not Indian, but she is.
Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah, but what is
Pocahontas?
The name?
Yeah.
She's
Pocahontas.
Yes.
Yeah, Warren.
Why she lied and she said she's Indian? Because she had privileges as an Indian. You have more privileges as a black. You have more privileges as liberal Democrat. You have more privileges if you are gay or lesbian or something else, but not a straight man or a straight woman. What is sick with this country?
You know,
we're blessing and rewarding the wrong one, and we're throwing the good one out.
You know, there's a couple of books that I always recommend, and you just mentioned something that made me think of a third one, Animal Farm, 1984, and Brave New World. They all had to do with this, what then was the future, which is now, what's coming on us now. And one of the things in, I believe it was 1984, Ted, correct me if I'm wrong, because Brave New World, 1984, I read them both around the same time. In 1984, if you were an attractive person, let's say you had a particularly pleasing face, or you were a beautiful woman, or a very handsome man, you had to wear things, listen to this, on your face to disguise your beauty or your attractiveness. Because because if you were attractive or beautiful, handsome, or appealing in some way, you had to do things to your face, to cover your face so that people would not give you privileges because you were attractive. This was in the book. Ted, do you recall, was that 1984 or am I thinking of Brave New World? Either way, these books talked about how socialism and how these things were coming into a society or what it was like in those societies. And here we are. We're headed to the same place. We're now saying that to have a child, to give birth to a child, I guess that's why it disturbed me what you were saying the other day, you were considered a low life of society if you literally gave birth to a child. because the only way that you was acceptable to give birth to a child, this was Brave New World, was children were cultivated in laboratories, and they selected genetically the most specific qualities they wanted. If you were to be a worker, then they emphasized your physical strength, not your intellectual ability. And they engineered human beings. I'm telling you what, they are working on these very things right now. They are working on this, particularly in China. They're doing research on this because they want to grow super soldiers.
Super warriors, yeah.
Yes. And yeah, so this idea that you would just have a baby naturally was considered animalistic. Isn't that what's happening now to you should only have this perfect child? Well, we don't need any of these kids who might, you know, come about and not be, you know, superior. And yet, if you naturally have any advantage or perceive to have an advantage, you need to be taken down. So there's no natural advantage. These are things that are, it's, you know, you would think when you read these things it could never happen. But because I read them all, I've always had this idea that without God, there's no telling the evil that human beings will go to. Yeah.
Sure.
Yeah. Just in
and
terms of
maybe. Grab it.
I was just going to say one thing. Just in terms of gender, you got to get off this 84 different genders. Let's start using the word sex. What sex are you? You're male or you're female. There's only two sexes. You're either XX or XY.
You know, Ted, maybe I don't know if I told you this before, if you heard me say that before, just 4 or 5 years ago, not 50 years ago, 4 or 5 years ago, maybe 6. Vicky was joking, my wife, she was joking with a group, and she said on the birth certificate, they have the sex, it's male or female. She said they will write in that square to be determined later. That was a joke by my wife 5 years ago. And now it is reality. Because this baby is going to grow up. Yes, he have a male body, but maybe in the future he feel like he's a she. Or maybe she have a body of a female, but maybe in the future she feel like she is a he. So that's when we're going to determine what sex our children are by allowing them to choose for themselves. And if the logic by looking at the physical body and even the body inside, not only she have a body outside of a female, but she also have a womb, and we have all the things to make a baby inside her that make her a female. You don't need to wait until the child grow up to tell you if it's he or she.
Well, and as Ted is saying, at the very cellular level, the very cell, every cell in your body, there is a determination of what sex that you are.
You are a male or a female. Yes.
For people to be transgendered, this is something that wouldn't have been possible medically years ago. But now I think you've got this Frankenstein complex where doctors are so excited that they can play God to make these changes. Mm. And again, doing this and promoting this with younger and younger children, it's abuse. Mm. It's abuse. It's sad.
Correction.
It is playing
they cannot
God,
make changes. They cannot make changes. All they can do is mutilate the body.
Yeah.
There's no way to change it.
Exactly.
So we can't say you have a sex change.
And,
you've had a body
and we
mutilation.
Are playing God. And we're playing God that we are in control, but we're not. We're not. You know what? I will tell these people, if you can start with your own dirt and make your own baby, that's fine. But don't take a created baby by God Almighty, and it is a baby boy, and you want to change it to a girl or one of the other 28 names. No. You go get your own dirt and start your own creation, and then you're a creator, and then you're a God, and then do whatever you want. Don't use my work and put your reputation on it. No, use your own work. So you create your own baby, and make sure you start with your own dirt. Don't use God's dirt. Anyway, it's just a philosophy,
positive statement. I like that.
I'm telling you, Christy. Well, Brother Ted, thank you so much for sharing with us tonight. Appreciate your call. And I would like to move on with our study about Abraham. We got
all right.
Lots of material
sounds
to
good.
Cover here.
Ted,
listen
in. Have a good night. Yep.
God bless you, brother. God bless you.
Thank you, Ted. God bless you. And, yeah, everybody check that out on frankspeech.com. Usama's on there sometimes,
yep.
too.
Yeah,
okay.
It'll probably be a day or two before they get it up there because it was just a
all
nice
right.
interview.
Yeah, yeah, I'll be checking
it
out.
That one. Very
all right.
We finish. We finish Quran chapter 2 and verse 258. I believe that's the last verse. 216 about Abraham arguing with the king, and we do not know who is the king, and we got 50 different opinions who is the king because Allah did not mention in the Quran who is the person whom Abraham was disputing with. So good luck to figure out who is that story is, which what is the original information about the story. We will just remind you, our dear listeners, that we're talking about the Quran as not complete word of God, incomplete word of God. I know that we talked about last week that Abraham is mentioned in the Quran in 63 times. 63 times. I mean, if you think about it, we're talking about Abraham in literally all these verses. And 63 times, and when you study all these verses and learn everything you can learn about Abraham from the Quran, you come up with incomplete story. You could not figure out who is that Abraham. Sometimes the name is just mentioned by itself. That's an Abraham, as we're going to see in some of the verses. And sometimes the name is mentioned between Abraham and some made-up story by Muhammad. And it is a joke because it's not true. There's no truth in it whatsoever. Abraham does not argue or debate in any king or anybody about if he can give life and give death. And Abraham never disputes anybody about bringing the sun from the west, not from the east. It's made up. Read the true Genesis account in about Abraham in the Bible, and we have more information in few chapters in the Bible than all this fabricated, made-up story by Abraham, by Muhammad about Abraham. So, Christy, do you have any other verse you want to get into before we move to Quran chapter 3?
I'm sorry. I thought we were in 2, and we were going to go to 259 because I don't know if we were supposed to do that.
No,
you're going to move on?
We're done.
Okay.
Yeah, we're going to go to Quran chapter 3 and verse 33. Quran 3, 33.
Okay, well, I need to go there. Mm-hmm.
Yes, and here is what I tried to, as I mentioned earlier, sometimes Abraham is just mentioned there in the middle of other names and not in right order. The chaos. So, Quran chapter 3, that is the book of Ala Imran, which is, by the way, according to Muhammad, that is the father of Mary, the mother of Jesus. But in the Bible, it's actually the father of Mary and Moses and Aaron, not Mary, the mother of Jesus. And we're talking about 1,550 some years apart there. Muhammad thinks they're the same woman. Mary is a Mary. He was wrong. But anyway, Quran chapter 3, verse 33. If you're ready for it, Christy, go ahead and read this verse for us.
Okay. Surely Allah chose Adam and Noah and the family of Abraham and the family of Imran above the world.
And that's it. That's all what we're going to learn about Abraham, and so is Adam and Noah and Al-Imran. He chose them, and he chose them above the world. That means he chose them above everybody else. That means Jesus does not even fit there. Where is Jesus? Or if you think, Al-Imran, you know, he is the son of Mary, the daughter of Imran. No, that's the wrong Imran. That is the father of Moses and Mary and Aaron. So Jesus doesn't even exist here. But because Muhammad confused Mary here, you read about it a little bit in the following verse 34 and 35. Oh, he thought that Mary, the mother of Jesus, is the same Mary, the sister of Moses and Aaron. That's a huge error, Christy.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Okay.
He doesn't know.
He does not know. It says incomplete names, incomplete story, incomplete information, and that is a revelation? Why do I need incomplete information if I got the true full account of the Bible? Let's go to Quran chapter 3 and verse 65. Quran chapter 3 and 65.
Okay. O people of the book, why do you dispute about Abraham when the Torah and the gospel were not sent down until after him? Do you not understand?
So you can read the following two verses, but let me give it to you here right now. The Jews and the Christian argue with each other, the people of the book. The Jewish people said Abraham was a Jew, and the Christians said, no, Abraham was a Christian, and they are fighting there. And Muhammad is so smart. He is so smart, Christy. He's number one. He said, you're both wrong. Because when Abraham was, there was no Torah, and there was no Injil. There was no gospel. Therefore, he's not a Jew, nor a Christian. Keep reading the following two verses.
Here you are. Those who disputed about that in which you have no knowledge. But why do you dispute about that of which you have no knowledge? And Allah knows, and you do not know. Abraham was not a Jew, nor a Nasaran Christian, but he was a Hanifan, a Muslim. And he was not of the polytheists.
You know how much nonsense here? Notice, Christy. Muhammad said here in the Quran, or Allah said in the Quran, Abraham was not a Jew. Why? Because the Torah came after Muhammad, after Abraham. And Abraham was not a Christian. Why? Because the Injil was came or descended by Allah after Abraham. But in the same time, Abraham was a Muslim. And the Quran, by the way, came 600 years after the gospel. I mean, there was no gospel, there was no Quran, period, in Reverend Day. If there was no Torah and there was no gospel, for sure there was no Quran. So how in the world Abraham was not a Jew nor a Christian, because there is no Torah and there is no gospel, okay? But at the same time, he's a Muslim when there was no Quran.
It's pretty funny.
And the word Hanifan is a non-Arabic word. It's a nonsensical word. It doesn't have any meaning. I don't know what Hanifan means. And then he said, well, he was not of the polytheist. Christy, what is a polytheist?
Somebody believes in more than one God.
Exactly. Did Abraham worship the sun and the moon and the stars in the Quran?
It said that, yes.
In the Quran. We're going to read it. It's coming up. So if he worshiped the sun and the moon and the stars, besides Allah, that means he's a polytheist. So everything about these four verses were written wrong. We can believe that Abraham was a Jew. Not because it was Torah or not. Because guess what? You don't have to have the Torah to be a Jew. You don't have to believe in Moses and in Moses' writing to be a Jew. But you have to believe in the God of the Bible, the God of the Old Testament, to be a Jew. I mean, let me ask you a question. The thief on the cross, where is that right now? The one who believed in Jesus. Where is that right now?
What now? I didn't understand
where
your question.
The thief.
Oh,
who
the
died
thief.
The
thief.
The
okay.
Yeah,
he's with the Lord. He's with Jesus.
In heaven.
In heaven.
And he died as a Christian.
Because he believed.
Okay. Now, the gospel was written 30 years after he died.
That's right.
So how can we say that thief was a Christian and he died believing in Jesus and he gets to heaven, even there was no gospel? You can't do it that way. You have to have a gospel in your hand. You have to read the entire four gospel, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, and John, and the letters of Paul, and the letters of Peter, and the letter of Jude, and the letter of James, and the book. If you don't read the entire 27 books of the New Testament, you're not a Christian.
Well, that's what
there's... Muhammad was.
It's
Allah
stupid
is wrong
to say
and
that.
Muhammad is wrong. Okay? Now, so, first of all, you don't have to believe you don't have to have the Torah, the first five books of the Bible, to be a Jew. Because guess what? Adam died, and there was no first five books. And so all the people who came in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Deuteronomy, and Number, all the people we mentioned there came and left. And none of them seen the books of Moses, because the books of Moses were written hundreds of years later.
That's right.
So, now I believe Abraham was a Jew because he believed in the God of the Old Testament. He talked with God. He walked with God. We know for sure that Abraham was a Jew. Not because there was a Torah or not, because it doesn't make any sense. Now, Abraham also was a Christian. Why Abraham was a Christian? Because he met and talked and walked with Jesus. Well, we learn that in the Bible in Genesis 18.
Mm-hmm.
When he disputed with Jesus Christ and said to him, "Will you, the just judge, the creator of the universe, will you punish the wicked and the evil?" Perhaps he said, "There are 50 righteous men or 50 righteous people in Sodom and Gomorrah. You cannot destroy all of them. You are the most just judge." And God said, Jesus said, "Well, if there are 50 righteous men, I'm not going to destroy them." And he kept going back and forth, talking with Jesus Christ in Genesis 18. And that's why Jesus in the book of John told us that Abraham saw me, and he rejoiced of knowing me, and he believed in me. And the Jewish people thought Jesus is losing his mind, because it says, "You're not even 50 years old, and you said you met with Abraham and you talked with Abraham."
All right.
Of course, the Jewish people did not know that Genesis 18, which is written by Moses' hand hundreds of years after Abraham died, okay, we're talking about literally 400 years later, Christy, that person Abraham was talking with and walking with Jesus Christ, God Almighty, who came in the flesh. Anyway, so the verses here in Quran chapter 3, verses 65, 66, and 67 is a joke. On one hand, Abraham was not a Jew or a Christian because there was no Bible in Abraham's day. But at the same time, he's a Muslim, even though there was no Quran in his day. And he denied that he was a polytheist, even though the Quran itself said that Abraham worshipped many gods. And in fact, the Bible talked about that. The people who lived in Abraham's land, in Abraham's days, they were all polytheists. They worshipped many gods. And God called Abraham, and he left not only his country, the land of Babel, but he also left their God, and he worshipped the true God of the Bible.
Yes.
All right. Let's move on. Verse 84.
Okay.
I'm sorry. How about 67? We did not read 68, Christy. I apologize.
Okay.
67.
Surely.
And 68. Yes, ma'am.
And 68, I didn't read yet.
Yes.
Okay.
66,
surely.
67 and 68, yeah.
Yeah, I read 67, right? That says he was a Hanifan. And he was not a polytheist. 68.
Yeah. 68.
Surely the most worthy people to Abraham are those who followed him and this prophet and those who believed, and Allah is the friend of the believers.
So you have to follow Muhammad to be a friend of Abraham?
This prophet, oh my gosh.
I mean, are you following? And why Allah did not say Muhammad? My prophet Muhammad, no, this prophet. Move on. Quran chapter 3, verse 84.
Yeah, here we go. Say, "We believed in Allah and in what has been sent down on us and what has been sent down on Abraham and Ishmael and Isaac and Jacob and the tribes and in what was given to Moses and Isa and the prophets from their Lord. We do not differentiate between any of them, and to him we are Muslims.
That's Allah speaking to all Muslim believers. They believe in what Allah sent on them through Muhammad, of course, here, the Quran. They believe what Allah did send on Abraham. What did Allah, what is the book of Abraham? We have a book, it's called the book of Abraham and the book of Israel and the book of Isaac and the book of Jacob. And there's another book, it's called the book of the 12 tribe of Jacob. And there's another book, it's called the book of Moses and the book of Isa and the book of the prophets. What is the book of the prophets after Isa? After Isa, we got Muhammad. There's nothing between Isa and Muhammad according to Islam. Who are these prophets? Plural. No singular, plural. The bunch of prophets, Christy, between Isa and Muhammad. Who are these prophets?
No clue.
And he said, what?
We
believe in all of them the same. None of them is more important than the other. You got that? The last portion of
the
verse? Okay. How about do me a favor and read the following verse, see if there's any contradiction.
Oh, the next verse, 85? And whosoever desires any other religion except Islam, so it will not be accepted from him, and in the hereafter he will be of the losers.
So if I believe in Abraham and in the book of, if I believe in Abraham and in the book of Abraham, or Ishmael and the book of Ishmael, in Isaac and the book of Isaac, or any of the other books, but I don't want to follow Islam, will this be equal to the Muslims?
No, that will not be accepted.
But Christy, verse 84 said they're all equal. If you follow Jesus,
Quran,
or if you follow Moses, or if you follow Muhammad, if you follow Jacob, they're all equal. We don't differentiate between one another, but at the same time, you have to only to believe in Muhammad. If you don't believe in Islam, it will not be accepted from you. So in earth, there's no differentiation, but in God's word, there's a differentiation? Does this make any sense?
These are contradictions, I would say.
That's exactly.
They contradict
exactly
each other.
What, yes, ma'am. Okay, that was verse 84, okay? Let's move on to the following verse. The following verse. Quran chapter 3 and verse 95.
95, okay. Let me get to 95 here. Say, Allah is truthful. So follow the religion of Abraham, Hanifan, and he was not of the polytheists.
We said he already worshipped the sun and the moon and the stars, according to the Quran. The Bible, we know he worshipped many gods, because how do you know the true God of the Bible before God called you? What is the logic? If you live with a company and everybody worship all these gods, and then God call you and say, Christy, yes, Lord, I want you to leave your family, I want you to leave your household, I want you to leave all these gods you worship and follow me. Okay, so before Abraham followed God when he was 75 years old, guess what? He was worshiping for 75 years, Christy. All the other gods.
Yes.
Logic. Common sense. And not that, he found out later that Laban worshipped all these gods. And Rachel, Jacob's wife, stole the gods of her father. And then the children of Israel, when they went to Egypt, they were taking some of these gods with them. And when they left Egypt and coming back to the promised land, they were worshipping all these gods. And later they added more of the gods of the land of Canaan to their gods. So the worship of many gods exists throughout the entire Bible, not just Abraham, but everybody else after him.
Yes.
And Allah in the Quran said Abraham was not a polytheist. Excuse me. Allah in the Quran said he was a polytheist. Following verse, Chrissy, 96.
Surely the first house that was established for the people was that in Becca. Blessed and a guidance to the world.
You know how many gods were inside that black Kaaba? 360 gods, Chrissy. The first house. which is obviously that more than there are plenty of Kaabas in Muhammad days, plenty, much more, not just one. And in that one specific Kaaba, according to Muslim scholars writing, there were 360 gods. So how can he tell me that they were not worshiping more than one god when there are 360 in one building? Next verse.
In it, there are clear signs, the standing place of Abraham, and whoever enters it was secure. People owe to Allah the pilgrimage to the house, who are able to have a way to it, and whoever becomes an infidel, so surely Allah is rich above the world.
And there were plenty of people doing all these sacramental things, or the things which Muslims do around the Kaaba, and there are plenty of people who perform the Hajj many hundreds of years before Muhammad was born, and these people have nothing to do with Abraham. They're not the descendant of Ishmael. They're just worshiping idols. All right, Chris, let's move on to Quran chapter 4. Let's go to Quran chapter 4.
Okay.
And let's read verse 54.
Okay, gotta let me get there. Boop. Ta-da. Sorry.
I wish you use my program where you touch the
button. You know that I can't. It won't work on my computer. We're in chapter 4, you said?
Yes, ma'am, and verse 54.
Okay. All right, here we are. They envy the people about what Allah has given them from his bounty. So indeed, we gave the family of Abraham the book and the wisdom, and we gave him a great kingdom.
Here we learn about Abraham. What do we learn here? Abraham was a king? Where is the kingdom
that
belongs to Abraham? God help.
How
about chapter 4? I want to go through all these verses, Christy. So we learn about the 63 mention of Abraham in the Quran to see,
uh-huh,
after reading all these verses, do we have a false understanding, a full revelation of Abraham? Verse 125, Christy. Verse
125. Okay, 125. And who has a better religion than the one who submits his face to Allah, who does what is good and follows the religion of Abraham Hanifan? And Allah took Abraham for a friend.
Really? That's a Christian perspective, not Islamic perspective. How can Allah take a human as a friend? Does this make sense to you? If Allah is absolute summons, solid, no emptiness in him. If you want to describe Allah in the Quran as we understand Jesus, yes, Abraham was a friend of Jesus. He talked with Jesus. He walked with Jesus. He disputed with Jesus about the people of Lot, and he laughed with Jesus, and everything. Like, there's a friendship there between Jesus and Abraham. But Allah, the absolute, the one Allah, he was a friend of Abraham. How can Allah be a friend of a human? Now you make Allah human? And once again, what was the religion of Abraham? There is no religion. It's called the religion of Abraham. Christy, the idea that Abraham have a book, and Abraham have a revelation, and Abraham have a religion, and he was a Hanif, and this is stupidity. There's no truth in it whatsoever. Let's move on. The next time we hear about Abraham is in verse 163. Same chapter, chapter 4, and verse 163.
Surely we have revealed to you as we revealed to Noah and the prophets after him. And we revealed to Abraham and Ishmael and Isaac and Jacob and the tribes and Esau and Ayub and Yunus and Aaron and Solomon and to David, I'm sorry, and to David we gave Zabur.
You know what kind of salad this is, Chrissy? When you mix cucumber and tomato and garlic and spinach and you add a little bit, you know, French or maybe, what do you call this, Thousand Island, and you make a salad. That is a salad we have in Allah's word of the Quran, a salad. First of all, Allah did not reveal to Muhammad as Allah revealed to Noah or any of these names according to the Quran itself. Did Allah spoke to Abraham? Yeah. Did Allah took Abraham as a friend? Yeah. Did Allah spoke to Noah? Yeah. Did Allah spoke to Isaac and Jacob and Esau and Job and John and Jonah and Aaron and so yeah, he spoke to all of them directly. Why Allah did not spoke to Muhammad directly?
Interesting.
Why he used Gabriel? See, when Allah spoke to Muhammad, he used Gabriel. Allah took Gabriel and Gabriel go to Muhammad. Now, did Allah spoke to Gabriel and Gabriel talk to Noah? Did Allah spoke to Gabriel and Gabriel talk to Abraham? No.
No. Nope.
Read the Quran. And Allah said, oh Noah, and Allah said, oh Abraham, and Allah said, oh Jacob. And Allah said, oh Job. In the Quran. I'm not talking about another book. I'm talking about the same book. Did Allah spoke to Muhammad directly in the Quran as Allah spoke to all these names? Forget about the salad here. Because obviously we know Abraham is the father of Ishmael and Isaac and Jacob and the tribe. Then you go to Jesus. Jesus comes out of the tribe. And then after Jesus, you go to Job, the earliest book in the Bible. And after Job, you go to Jonah. And after Jonah, you go to Aaron and Solomon and David. What kind of salad is that? That's a poor representation. Allah does not know who came first and who came second. Is the chicken came before the egg, or the egg came before the chicken?
He just throws the names out there. That's it. They're just thrown out there.
Do you see Moses anywhere there?
Oops, nope, no Moses. Sorry.
Well, but guess what? Moses is the one who told us about all the people, because neither Abraham or Ishmael or Isaac or Jacob or the tribes, the 12 sons of Jacob, not one of them wrote a book.
That's
but
right.
Abraham and Moses is the one who told us. And we'll read about Moses. Read the following verse 164. What it says in 164.
And messengers, we have mentioned their story to you before. And messengers, we have not mentioned their story to you.
You know what? You know what Muhammad said that? cover all corners.
That's right. The ones
somebody,
we mentioned.
If somebody came to Muhammad, yeah. Imagine
the ones we didn't.
Yeah, but imagine this. Some guy came to Muhammad. Hey, Muhammad, he's here. He said, you didn't tell us about the story of Usama Dak. Oh, yeah. Allah, he did not mention it. It's in the verse, 164.
That's right.
So he's covering all his bases. And then, and Allah did what to Moses?
And Allah spoke to Moses, speaking.
Oh, Allah speak to Moses, speaking. And in these verses, Allah revealed to Muhammad as Allah revealed to Moses. Did Allah spoke to Muhammad directly?
No, that's what's interesting.
Good. Let's go to Quran chapter 6 and verse 74, Chris.
Okay.
Quran chapter 6 and verse 74.
Okay. All right. And when Abraham said to his father, Azar, do you take Asnam for gods? Surely I see. Oh, okay. Well, I got to click and can't when I'm reading. Do you take idols for gods? Surely I see you and you people are in obvious error.
What is the name of Abraham's daddy in the Bible?
It's not Azar.
It's Terah.
Yeah, that's Terah. Right.
Abraham is the son of Terah. why Muhammad put in the Quran his father's name is Azar? I mean, it's amazing. Muhammad hardly mentioned any names in the Quran. And when he mentioned names, he gave us wrong names.
That's right.
You see the problem? Keep going with the story. Keep going with the next verse.
Okay. And likewise, we did show Abraham the kingdom of the heavens and the earth, and that he might be one of the certain.
Okay. Before Allah show Abraham the kingdom of the heavens and the earth, to make him certain, did he know anything about this kingdom? Before you see the light, Christian, that means you were walking what? In darkness. Did Abraham always believe in God? If God showed to Abraham when he was 20 or 30 or 40, whatever age it is, that means one day before Allah showed Abraham, Abraham did not know.
Right.
Keep going. Next verse.
So when the night covered him, he saw a planet. He said, "This is my Lord." And when it set, he said, "I do not love the setting one."
Did he worship that star? He worshipped it.
Yeah.
You know how stupid this is? The whole entire story is dumb. Read the following verse, and I'll tell you why. Read the following verse.
So when he saw the moon rising, he said, "This is my Lord." So when it set, he said, "If my Lord does not guide me, I will surely be of the erring people."
So first he saw a star, and the star disappeared, of course, when the daylight comes. And then he saw the moon, and the moon disappeared when the sun shined in the morning. The next verse.
So when he saw the sun rising, he said, "This is my Lord. This is bigger." So when it set, he said, "Oh, my people, surely I am innocent of what you partner."
Wait a minute. Was this the first time in the life of Abraham to see the star or to see the moon or to see the sun? You know, you have to be really stupid to believe in the story, because obviously he saw the sun set many times in the past of his life, unless Abraham was literally a year old. First time he came out, his mama held him tight inside the house, and he grew up. And now he's 1 year old, and he was able to walk, and he looked outside, and he saw the star. Oh, here's my Allah. Here's my Lord. And then in the morning, the star disappeared. But surprise, surprise, the following day, accidentally, he saw the moon for the first time in his life. Oh, this is my Allah. Here's my Lord. And then the moon disappeared because the sun showed. But wait a minute. I guarantee you he saw the sun the day before when the other star disappeared. So he did not realize that the sun was set at night and it's going to get dark. How
did
he saw the moon
the
night before?
It's so ridiculous. It really is. I mean, it's ridiculous. I'm sorry. It's ridiculous.
It is stupid. So in the following verse now, he did what? In verse 79?
Surely I turned my face to him who created the heavens and the earth, Hanifan, and I am not of the polytheists.
But didn't he say the star is his Lord?
That's
right. And the moon is his Lord? And
yep.
The sun is his Lord? That makes him 100% polytheist.
Polytheist.
But Muhammad does not
figure
out polytheist, the one who worships more than one God. That's a problem. Muhammad does not realize what he's writing down. And Muslims, they don't ask. They don't question the Quran, Christian. If it is in the Quran, it's the word of Allah. It is done. You don't question it, period.
Even though Allah is very confused, or Muhammad
is. Next verse. Let's continue with the story, please.
And his people disputed with him. He said, "Do you dispute with me about Allah? And indeed he guided me? and I do not fear what you partner with him unless my Lord wills anything. My Lord embraces all things in knowledge. Do you not remember?
Keep going.
Okay. And how should I fear what you partner, and you do not fear what you partner with Allah, what he did not send down on you with authority? So which of the two groups are more worthy of security if you were knowing?
Now, are you lost yet?
I am.
Muhammad or Allah? What Muhammad or Allah is speaking about in verse 81? What two groups?
No clue.
What are you talking about? No clue.
Don't
worry, Muslims also do not have a clue. Keep going, lots of verses.
Okay. Those who believed and do not mix their faith with injustice, those have security, and they are guided. And this is our argument we gave to Abraham against his people. We raise up in degrees whom we will. Surely your Lord is wise, knowing.
Next verse.
And he granted to him Isaac and Jacob, both we guided, and Noah we guided before, and among his descendants, David and Solomon, and Job, and Joseph, and Moses, and Aaron. And likewise, we reward the doers of good.
Keep going.
Go on. And Zacharias, and Uyah, and Esau, and Elias.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
All were from the good. And Ishmael, and Elias, and Eunice, and Lut, and we preferred all those above the world.
How do you like this salad of names, this cocktail of names?
Crazy.
I mean, I'm trying to make sense out of this garbage Quran. He's talking about Abraham, and he's talking about Isaac and Jacob. Okay, Isaac and Jacob, these are the descendants of Abraham. And then he went to Noah. And after Noah, he went to David and Solomon. And then he went to Job, which come before all these people. And then he went to Joseph. Well, Joseph is the grandson of Abraham from Jacob. He's one of Jacob's sons. And then he went to Moses, which jumped now 400 years. And then he went to Aaron, which is obviously Moses' brother. And then he went to Zechariah, New Testament. That is Jesus' day, okay? And John the Baptist. And then he went to Esau. And then he went back to the Old Testament, which is Elijah. And then he went to Ishmael, which is the son of Abraham. And then he went to Elisha, who's supposed to come with Elijah. Elisha and Elijah. These are the two names. And then he went to Jonah. And then he went to Lot, which is the nephew of Abraham. You know how stupid that is, Christy? If that's not stupid, I do not know what stupid it is.
It's a bunch of names, but it's like there's no
he
clue
picked up
as
names
to how they
from
go
the
together.
Bible and he
yep. Just throw them in there.
Trust me. You know, in my Old Testament survey, Christy, I was in seminary, and Professor Smith, God bless him, Chemist Smith, his name, okay? What he does is he gave you names of biblical names, okay, biblical people.
Uh-huh.
And he asked you to put them in the right order, and what is worse than that, you need to put the dates. When did they exist? And I passed that test, and I got an A+. A+. In my Old Testament survey. I challenged Muhammad or Allah or Jibreel to take the same test and pass. Allah, the God of Muhammad, will have a zero with this way of putting names. Because you have to tell me, Abraham, 1,800 years before Christ, and you have to put Jacob after him, and so you have to put Isaac after him, you have to put Jacob after that. Now, if you're going to talk about Noah, you have to put Noah before Abraham.
Yeah.
Because Noah was before Abraham. How in the world do you put this order here? Ishmael had to go with Abraham. Elijah and Elijah have to go together. Lot had to go with Abraham. If you're going to talk about Jesus and Zechariah, you have to put them, and Zechariah's son, John the Baptist, you have to put them in the right order, which is 1,500 years after Moses. Not all mixed together as a nice cocktail or a dish of salad. Eat, Christy. Enjoy it. Here's some sour cream or some French vanilla. What do you like to put on your salad? I'll give it to you.
Well, depends on what kind of salad, thank you. But this salad is
not very good. That is the worst salad. No. Is this unbelievable? It doesn't make any sense. Go in same chapter 6 and verse 161.
Okay, hold on. Oops, almost passed it. Okay.
That's okay.
Say, surely my Lord has guided me to a straight way, a valuable religion, the religion of Abraham, Hanifan, and he was not of the polytheists.
No, he was a polytheist according to the Quran. And according
not according to this verse. Not according to this verse of the Quran. It's crazy. All right. That's
that is the end of Abraham in chapter 6. Let's go to chapter 9. Let's get, I think we have enough time to get a couple of verses. Chapter 9, Christy, verse 17.
Okay. Chapter 9, hold on.
9, verse 70. Can this be complete revelation from God to Muhammad? When we just jump all over the Quran and read bite here and bite there about Abraham with confusion, with nonsense material, how in the world somebody can tell me, we believe in Abraham. What Abraham? Which Abraham are you talking about? The Abraham of the Bible or the comedy Abraham of the Quran? Quran chapter 9, verse 161. What do we read there?
Oh, I thought you said 70.
No, 161, Quran chapter 9, I'm sorry, chapter 9, verse 70 first. I apologize. Yes.
Yeah. Has not the news of those who were before them reached them, Noah's people, and Ad, and Thimond, and Abraham's people, and the companions of Midian, and the Mutafika? Their messengers came to them with proofs, so it was not of Allah to treat them unjustly, but they were treating themselves unjustly.
Notice here, Allah is telling us that those people receive message, the people of Noah through Prophet Noah, the people of Ad through Prophet Ad, the people of Thamud through Prophet Saleh, I believe that's his name. And the people of Abraham, through who? Prophet Abraham. And then a bunch of names. And it's just sets of words. And we got a verse in the Quran. What did you learn from that verse? Anything specifically? Help me out.
Nothing. They came with proofs.
Good, good. We move from 70, that's okay, from 70 to verse 114. Same chapter, chapter 9 and verse 114.
And the seeking of forgiveness of Abraham for his father was not but in keeping of a promise which he promised to him. So when it was shown to him that he was an enemy to Allah, he declared himself innocent of him. Surely Abraham was very meek.
What do we learn about that in the Bible? We know that, first of all, the whole entire story about Abraham and his father and how they we're going to get to this next week because we don't have time tonight. Our time is up. This is made-up story. But here in that verse, Quran chapter 9, verse 114, Abraham sought forgiveness for his father. Oh Allah, please forgive my father. Please forgive my father. But then guess what? Allah revealed to him, oh, Abraham, he was an enemy to me. Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I did not know that. Don't forgive me anymore. What is it? Where do we learn about that in the Bible? Because in the Bible, the story is very clear. Abraham, his father, his nephew, and the last daddy traveled together, and they were moving from the land of Ur of Chaldeans, from the Iraq Babel, going all the way to the promised land. In their way, Abraham's daddy died. Which means, literally, if you go to Genesis account, Christy, Abraham's father did not die as an idol worshiper because he believed in God. He was traveling with his son.
Right.
He was separating himself from his people. Where is my Bible? I want to open my Bible to read this for you. Let's quickly open Genesis account if we have a minute. I don't know if it's going to give you to get to it. If we could not get to it today, I promise you, Lord is willing, next time we're going to talk about it, okay? Noah, after Noah, we need to go down. Genesis 12. Oops. I'm trying to find the passage where Abraham's daddy died.
Okay.
I think it's around 12 or 13. If I look quickly, I'll let you know.
Okay,
that's the right chapter or not. It has to be before that because in 12 he went to Egypt. So let's see 11. 11.
Okay.
Nope, it has to be after 11 because that's the one tongue. It has to be 12. 12. Let's see 12. Yep. Genesis chapter 12.
It's 12, okay.
Read verse 1.
Now the Lord said to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Keep going.
I'm trying to find the place where his father died. I think maybe it's in the end of 11 because we moved from 11 to 12.
Okay, so let's go back to...
And the sad thing is our time is up, Christy. Our time is up. Okay, let's remember that next time, Lord is willing, when we go to our study, we'll find out exactly... Yeah, it is chapter 11 and verse 51.
All right, we'll get it.
And here we know the name is his father, is Sarah, not Azar, and he died before he went to the promised land. God bless you, Christy. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank Brother Seth, for sharing with us and all those in the chat room and those who will listen to this podcast later. Join us live next Saturday, Lord's willing, same time, same place here, so you can have the opportunity to talk to us on the phone. God bless you all. You have a wonderful, good night. And if you want to see me tomorrow, I am in Venice, Florida, First Baptist Church on the island. That is 312 Miami Avenue. I'm speaking from 6 to 8 tomorrow evening, from 6 to 8 at First Baptist Church in Venice, Florida. God bless you. And by the way, Thursday, I'm speaking in Sarasota. If you need some permission, just call me. I'll tell you where I am going to be on Thursday night. God bless you all, and I shall see you next week. Bye-bye.
Thank you. God bless you. Bye.
Perhaps the greatest fear that Muslims have is the constant insecurity that the Quran declares about heaven and hell. According to Islam, no one can know for sure if they will spend eternity with the Lord in heaven or suffering apart from him in hell. Even Muhammad said that he did not know if even he would make it to paradise. Did you know that the Bible says that you can know 100% for sure that your soul will be with the Lord after death? God knows that it would be impossible to live a life of joy and peace if a person was always in doubt about their soul. God wants you to be sure. In fact, Jesus had to come to this earth and die on the cross so that you could know that you had eternal life. You see, our problem is sin, which is rebellion against the God who created us and loves us. God is perfect and holy, and he cannot allow sin into his heaven. We must have our sins forgiven and removed, and that's why Jesus suffered and died on the cross, to pay the penalty for your sins and for mine. Because of what Jesus did on the cross, God can forgive you. He can save you, no matter who you are or what you have done. God has done everything necessary to save your soul, but now the decision is up to you. Will you turn away from your sin and rebellion and trust Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Good works, church attendance, and baptism cannot get your soul to heaven, but Jesus can. The Bible says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Why don't you call out to the Lord right now, perhaps saying something like this. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I do deserve to be punished, but I believe that you sent Jesus to die for me, to pay the price for my sins. Right now, I turn away from my sin and I invite you to come and be my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Have you accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior? Or perhaps you have further questions about Islam or Christianity? Why not take a moment right now and visit us online at www.thestraightway.org. That's www.thestraightway.org. May God bless you richly until we meet again right here on Revealing the Truth About Islam. Join us each Saturday at 10 p.m. Eastern Time for another episode of Revealing the Truth About Islam.